Welcome to the Rich Feet Podcast with Dr. Tanisha Richmond. This podcast is sponsored by the Richmond Foot and Ankle Clinic, where they specialize in happy feet. Each episode highlights the best of Dr. Richmond's radio show, providing bite-sized clips of advice. Let's jump right into the show.
Reverend Johnson, we had someone call in and they had a question. And
So
let's talk about the question.
So it's a question coming from a parent that has children who are identifying as same gender living, right? And,
okay.
And how do we deal with that and be morally consistent with that? So my first comment on everything, particular issues like this, is we always start from a place of love.
Okay.
I'm going to always err on the side of love and compassion and acceptance for who you are as a person.
Okay. Right?
That's the first issue. And I think that is important because sometimes in the heated debates between the left and the right around these issues, we forget that at the core, there are people.
Yes.
Involved here. People with strongly held beliefs and thoughts and ideas and feelings, but people nonetheless. Secondly, there is a New Testament scholar. I would recommend, again, I'm going to go back to Dr. Kelly Brown Douglas. She wrote a couple of really good books on this subject, and I would recommend you read those books. Because I know we're on a radio show and the nuances around this conversation are as such that trying to jump in and give black and white answers may not be the most helpful thing, but I will point you in the direction that you might be able to go and get what you need. So the first book I would recommend you read is Sexuality and the Black Church, A Womanist Perspective by Kelly Brown Douglas, and another book by her called Black Bodies and the Black Church by Kelly Brown Douglas. I would start in those places as a way of thinking through your theology and your response to your children, and to remember that they're always your children, and to love them and to accept them and to embrace them through this part of their journey. As it relates to some of the marital things that are happening as a consequence of this, Jesus and a therapist. Jesus and a therapist.
Okay.
No, real talk. This might be something, because again, you know, hey, ain't no handbook for real on how to raise kids, right? Like, everybody doing the best they can with what they got. And you don't know what you're getting till the child is born. Okay, let's be real.
Yes.
And so, you know, show each other some grace and some compassion as you try to deal with this. Perhaps this is a great opportunity to see what God is doing in this creative conflict and go see a therapist and have some conversation.
All right. I like that answer. So today, actually, I wore my Tina Turner shirt to honor Tina from her passing this past Wednesday. She passed from kidney disease. And on a medical standpoint, I actually read an article where she said she passed because she didn't want to take her blood pressure pills, which made her go into renal failure.
Oh, wow.
And I just wanted to bring that up as an African-American doctor, a diabetic as well, and a person with high blood pressure. I take 4 blood pressure pills happily to keep my blood pressure around 120 over 80 every time I go see my doctor, because I worry about my kidney function as well, being a diabetic myself. And when I read that, I felt like that should be something more discussed, because she may have lived longer if she would have taken her blood pressure pills. And she actually mentioned that in one of her final interviews, that her husband gave her a kidney 5, 6, 7 years ago. I guess it didn't work out, or she may have rejected or something. And that's ultimately what she passed from, was kidney failure. But not to say anything on her life and what she went through, but as a physician, as an African-American physician with medical issues myself and living with them and conquering them, because I've been diabetic now. I was diagnosed in 2001. So I've been diabetic now 22 years and everything still works. And that's not by chance. It's by diligence. It's by, you know, following my diet, trying to be as good as I can be and taking my medications and seeing my doctor every 3 months and getting my A1Cs and my labs and doing all the things I have to do. And as a physician, when I read that, it saddened me. For all the money she had, she still didn't believe in medicine. And you talk about, you know, historically our issues with healthcare, our issues with trust, especially in the African-American community with healthcare and people in the healthcare system, because all the way back to the Tuskegee experiment, we still have mistrust issues. As a pastor, being in the community and working with the community, did you have a lot of issues with people like not wanting to take the vaccine when we were going through the COVID?
So I want to always honor Mother Turner, who is now become an ancestor of blessed memory. And I just want to say, not that we're going to get too deep into her life, but also stands as a great example of what it means to love yourself enough to get out of a toxic, abusive situation. And I want to say that to anybody who's in a toxic, abusive situation. You know, you can look at her life and see that, hey, you know what? It don't have to be that way. You can make choices.
Yes.
And make a choice for yourself and get out of that in safe ways. And there are resources in the community to help you do that. Listen, I'm going to say it this way because this is what it is. I don't care what some other pastor said about divorce. Ma'am, sir, if you are in a relationship with a spouse who is beating you, you ain't got to stay there. You need to get out of that. The Bible does not say you need to stay there for that. I don't care what they say. No.
Yeah, you're right.
That ain't it. That's not it at all. You know, the text teaches we should love our neighbors as ourselves. And the prerequisite is the Bible assumes that you love yourself. And you should love yourself enough to do what you need to do to get out of that. And if you need resources for that, the Artemis Center is here, YWCA, other resources for that. So, you know, so I want to say that up front. Now, when it comes to this healthcare thing, you know, I remember COVID first popped off when we were all stuck in the house. I'm a reader, right? Like if I had the time and the space, I would probably never leave my house, particularly now that, like, you know, they deliver groceries and I have to go to the grocery store. Cook my food at my house by myself and sit and read and mind my business and listen to Bob, Carl House Davis. That really, in my world, that'd be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to read during the middle of the pandemic when the vaccine first came out, Washington's Medical Apartheid.
Ooh. You do be reading.
Right?
When you may need to type up a list of all the books you listed, because I know they're going to call the radio station later, like, what was that book, Pastor Johnson? Because, boy, you was a library.
I'll try.
Which is awesome.
Sometimes while you're talking, you know, these things, the subject raises a book that you read. So I'll try to remember what I read. But I read Medical Apartheid, and I remember being freaked out. Like, man, I ain't trusted none of these folk.
Is that Audible?
I think so. Yeah, it's definitely on Kindle.
Okay, it's on Kindle. Okay.
You know, what's cool is, and again, one of the reasons that I know Dr. Richmond is because when I needed a podiatrist with some of my interesting genetic foot issues, I talked to my doctor and I try to make sure that if I can, my physicians look like me because they understand my diet, they understand my lifestyle.
Yes.
They understand culture in many ways. They understand what I'm eating.
Yes. And why you eat it.
And why I'm eating it, et cetera, et cetera. And so they're conversations that I can have and then conversations that I don't have to have because they already know what's going on.
Yes.
I talked to again, my primary care physician. Again, shout out to Dr. Gary Leroy, my guy. Right?
Yep.
And we started talking about, you know, these vaccines and how they were being developed. And then another good friend of mine, one of the greatest pediatricians in the city, Dr. Alonzo Patterson. He was working with, I think, the Gym City.
Gym City Group.
Yeah, Gym City Group, which is a group of Black physicians.
Yeah.
And they did. We were on this committee to talk about what it means, what this vaccine is, how it was developed, and how we were going to help our people to understand that this wasn't Tuskegee.
Yes.
Right? Because folks was, I ain't taking that. They just made that yesterday. I don't know. And then, right, y'all know how we do, right?
Yes.
Some are still doing it today, right? You taking that stuff to kill me. Uh-oh, they running spirit. They putting microchips in.
Yeah.
All of these things that we ran, again, Dr. Google, you don't want to be fooling with Dr. Google, all right? You know, so I knew I was concerned, so I went to people I trusted who I knew had real live medical degrees who practiced medicine. Meharry had a great conversation about the vaccine and how it was developed. You know what Meharry is? Meharry is a black medical school, and they had a great conversation. And then we here community-wide got together with some black doctors. And we held out at Bethel. We sponsored some community conversations online around the vaccine and let the community ask those questions that we talk about in the barbershop, in the beauty parlor, and around the dinner table that we don't talk about outside. We let those conversations be asked to black doctors who had treated us, treated our children. And I discovered that hearing those answers from people we know and trust.
Yes.
Really helped to move the needle on some of us. And thanks be to God. I'm gonna go ahead and confess. I've had my first shot, my second shot, and two boosters, and I'm waiting on them to send the third booster.
Yeah, it comes out in the fall.
I'm gonna be glad to have it. Because I see the difference, right? And they asked the questions about what about the side effects and what about these outliers? And it was good to have, and that's the beautiful thing about Dayton. We have a rich and really informed cadre of black doctors in this city. So yeah, so that's how we got by that, you know. And some people still, you know, everybody ain't gonna be convinced. It's like preaching the gospel. Everybody ain't gonna hear you, but you know, hopefully enough of us hear you to be saved, right? And the proof is in the pudding as it relates to that. So yeah.
So as a young pastor, a very educated pastor,
young is so relative.
You young, you still young. I like to tell my patients, you're not old till you're 100. So you can be on the, what's that old thing they used to do on the Today Show? When you hit 100. But, I mean, as a pastor, how do you keep religion current? Or what? So, like, the newest generations will actually go to church? Because a lot of kids, a lot of people now are atheists. They're just totally anti-religion, anti-church, anti a lot of things.
Yeah. Now that's a whole different radio program. You know, I read a lot, and I read the newspaper. People laugh at me. My friends know most mornings I read maybe about four different newspapers. Some of them are from other countries because I like to see what other folks say. Sometimes stuff we get over here in the news, you read it in another country's periodical, you'll discover you might learn some things that they didn't tell us over here. And so, you know, I try to stay current on what's going on in the world. You know, I don't cloister myself in my church office. I believe that we need to follow the Jesus model. Jesus didn't come and just live in the temple, right? Jesus was out hanging with people, doing regular people stuff. Jesus went to house parties. You know, they were having a wedding one day and ran out of wine. And Jesus, you know, let me be the bartender right quick and turn water into wine. And
that's how it went down?
Yeah, that's what authorized Xavier Johnson translation.
Okay.
You know, and contrary to popular opinion, no, it wasn't non-alcoholic. No, it was real wine. So good that the head of the feast, who was already drunk, was like, yo, this is good stuff. It's in your Bible, right? So I don't cloister myself at the house. I tell Bethel all the time, you can be saved and have a good time and have fun. A part of what helps people to understand the gospel and the freedom that comes being a Christian and living and believing the gospel is to see us out in the world doing regular people stuff. So, I tell people, I'm a hip hop head. I was the speaker for Jefferson Township's commencement last week. And I told them, hey, yo, I'm a real hip hop head, like old school. Like, you know, I remember listening to Big Daddy Kane and Salt and Pepper as a kid. I listened to Biggie today. Like, I theologize listening to Biggie and Tupac. Like, I listened to Kendrick Lamar. I listened to the Fugees. I listened to Lauryn Hill. What am I saying? I do regular people stuff. And I think that is important. It's important that that people see Christians out being regular human beings. You ain't got to walk around with all white on or with your suit on and your big old cross around your neck and your big Bible with the holographic picture of Black Jesus on the front, listening to James Cleveland and Shirley Caesar all day long. And I'm like, oh, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. That's annoying. Nobody wants to hear that. Just say, hey, I'm fine.
I say that.
Okay. Listen. Listen. You know, just be a regular person, but be saved. Mm. Treat people with love. You know, I'm preaching a series on evangelism at Bethel now, and I tell them the greatest sermon that people will ever hear is not going to be preached by me from this pulpit. It's going to be the sermon that's preached by your life as you interact with your family and friends and others that you know and even don't know. And they can see that you are a regular person facing the same stuff they're facing, but you're making it, facing the same struggles they're facing, but you're surviving. Why? Because you got Jesus in your heart and you're loving and you're kind. And, you might cuss a little bit every now and again in your head, but, you know, it's a part of life. You're still saved, right? You're a regular person. You just got Jesus, and that's important.
So on that note, what's the address of your church and church schedule?
So we're actually on, we have 401 South Paul Lawrence Dunbar. Worship starts at Bethel at 10:45. Most Sundays, if you get there by 10:45, by 11:45, maybe noon at the latest, you're going to be in your car on your way to, and this summer we are casual starting this Sunday up until like Labor Day. So you can come with your J's on and your t-shirt and just come have a good time. You come, if you want to put a suit on, put your suit on. Some people won't have that on. Just come as you are. We're having revival next month, every Wednesday at 7. That's going to be casual.
And are you still online?
We are online. You can catch us on the Bethel Facebook page, Bethel YouTube page.
And your app?
And we do have a Bethel app called Bethel Church Connect. You're out there on that. If you on Facebook, you can just look up Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. You're on YouTube, Bethel Dayton.
So it looks like that's going to be the end of our talk today. Cool.
Well, thank you for the invite. This was really dope.
It's been an interesting talk. I think you'll probably be back on.
Oh, Lord.
So I'll be back on the 24th of June talking about probably feet. maybe not, depending on which guest I could get on the show. I hope today this was entertaining. This was enlightening. I really enjoy my pastor and I enjoy his mind. And hopefully we can get him to type up a list of all the books that he listed today, because now I want to go out and read some of them as well. My phone number is 937-228-3668. Practice is Richmond Foot Nickel Clinic, 1323 West 3rd Street. And you can call us at 937-228-3668. And you can now text us at that number as well. And you can reach out to us through Google and through the website. Be patient with us. I am now the only podiatrist in the city of Dayton proper. So I am super busy, but we're trying to get people in as quickly as we can. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope you learned a little bit more about religion and ideology and Christianity, because I surely did. So thank you so much today for listening. And always take care of your feet. You only got two.
We hope you enjoyed today's show with Dr. Richmond, sponsored by the Richmond Foot and Ankle Clinic. The clinic is located at 1323 West 3rd Street in Dayton, Ohio, zip code 45402. To book an appointment, call 937-228-3668, or you can learn more at richfeet.org.